Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Grant Cohn Show. I am the Grant Cohn host, of the Grant Cohn Show. My name is Grant Cohn. Today is a members only show. That means if you want to leave a comment, you have to be a member of the channel. It's $1.99 a month. It's a lot. So this is just for the exclusive upper crust of society. Really, you know, it's how I am. This is for the bougiest people in the world, this stream. In fact, if you're not bougie at heart, don't watch. The title of the show is Brock Purdy great? Is he a great quarterback? Depends on what your definition of great is. We're going to talk about that today. I put out a poll on Twitter yesterday asking, is he great? And 70% of people said yes. Now, I'm sure more than 70% of the people who voted are Niner fans. But that surprised me because greatness is tough to achieve. So we'll talk about, is he great? Other quarterbacks who might be great on this team. But first, I want to talk about, I want to look at the 49ers from a opponent's perspective. If you were D'Amico Ryans, Robert Saleh, any defensive, let's look at it from Robert Saleh's perspective. You're facing the Niners week one. How are you going to win this game? What are you going to do to slow down Kyle Shanahan's offense? And I think a lot of people are thinking this way. If you want to win the Super Bowl, you got to go through the Niners at some point. And a big reason, maybe the main reason the Chiefs won the Super Bowl is because they shut down the Niners' offense. The Chiefs' offense wasn't great in the Super Bowl, but their defense was. And if the Niners hadn't faced the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, they would have faced the Ravens, who lost to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, and the Ravens did a great job against the Niners' offense as well. So what are you trying to accomplish against the Niners' offense, and what does it take to get the job done? First of all, you have to stop Christian McCaffrey. That's job number one. He's the offensive player of the year. They're a run first team. You have to put eight in the box. You can't treat him like, you can't take him lightly. You can't play your safeties back and say, well, you know, Brock Purdy's really good. We'll just live with Christian McCaffrey going for 150 on the ground. You'll lose that way. The Chiefs stack the box. You have to shut down McCaffrey one way or another. That's job one. So usually most teams, unless they have just a killer front seven, have to stack the box to shut down the run. Some teams have a killer front seven. But to shut down the run, you don't need one. All you need to do is have the right number of defenders near the line of scrimmage. So you put eight there, all of a sudden, you're equipped to stop McCaffrey. Problem is, now you got one-on-one matchups on the outside. If you play zone, three deep, four underneath, cover three, you're going to lose. Brock Purdy will kill you. Debo Samuel will kill you. George Kittle will kill you. Brandon Ayuk will kill you. So that's not really an option. You'll throw it in there sometimes, but what you need to do is play press man-to-man coverage. This is what the Chiefs did. The combination of eight in the box to shut down McCaffrey, or at least limit him, slow him down. You don't shut him down. You slow him down. And then press man-to-man coverage to shut down Debo Samuel. You know the Niners want to throw quick passes and hand the ball off. Take that stuff away. And force the offensive line to block in pass protection for more than 2 seconds. Force some of these wide receivers on the Niners to beat press man-to-man coverage in less than 2 seconds. Or force Brock Purdy to hold the ball longer. Doesn't mean you're going to shut down the Niners offense, but it's the best you can do. And to pull it off, you need specific types of players. You don't necessarily need the greatest run defenders. You don't necessarily need the greatest pass rushers. because again, you're just putting eight in the box. What you need is really good cornerbacks. Really good cornerbacks. Chiefs had it, and they shut down the Niners offense. The Ravens had it. I'm talking no weaknesses in the secondary. Your nickelback, great. Both corners, great. Both safeties, great. Otherwise, Brandon Ayuk is going to find whoever the worst corner is. Kyle Shanahan's going to put him on him, whether he's in the slot or outside, left, right, and he's going to get torched. That's it. And that's why I think if you look at a lot of teams this offseason, they were loading up on cornerbacks. I think teams are figuring it out. Meanwhile, the Niners are still building through their defensive line. But if teams are going to throw a bunch of quick passes, and rely on yards after the catch, like the Niners do, then you really need to take away the quick passes. And to do that, the corners do that. Pass rushers can't do anything about that. Once the ball is out of the quarterback's hand, the pass rusher is out of the play, essentially. But to force the quarterback to hold it long, you need cornerbacks. So the Eagles drafted one in round one and round two. The Lions traded for one and then drafted one in round one. Everyone understands what you got to do. The Jets, let's bring it back to the beginning of the topic. Week one, Robert Saleh facing the Niners. Well, they have Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. They have two great corners. As more and more teams figure out that you want to build your defense from back to front instead of front to back, the Niners are going to have problems. They're going to have to figure out a way to counteract that. And I think that's probably why they drafted Ricky Pearsall, because Kyle Shanahan is smart and understands what's coming. He saw it from the best defensive coaches. He saw it from Mike McDonald, who was the Ravens defensive coordinator, and now he's the Seahawks head coach. He's going to see it twice a year from them. Seahawks have a great secondary. He saw it from Steve Spagnuolo in the Super Bowl, tried to hire Steve Spagnuolo immediately after the game. He understands how defenses are going to play and that it's going to work unless he can evolve. And so what he did was he drafted another wide receiver who could beat man-to-man coverage if he is impressed. Might help. I would think something that would help even more, Kyle, if you're listening, free advice, a better offensive line. Because if your offensive line could block well for maybe 3 seconds, then it would give Kittle more time to beat man coverage, Ayuk more time to beat man coverage. Guys would get open. Or Purdy could scramble around and make something happen. But if everything has to happen in second and a half, really doesn't give Brandon Ayuk or anyone much of a chance to be special. So it's interesting he went for the wide receiver because he's a wide receiver. But Andy Reid responds to defenses loading up to stop his offense by getting different offensive linemen. He was an offensive lineman. Going to be interesting to see how the Niners do against this, because look at the secondaries in their division. Seattle has a great one. The Eagles just, they're not in their division, but in the conference, they just retooled theirs. The Lions retooled theirs. Let's talk Lions in particular. So this week was the schedule release event, which is fun. And I think what's fun about it is journalists having to predict each game right now. Baseball journalists don't have to do that. Basketball journalists don't have to do that. The schedule release isn't an event for those two sports, but it is in the NFL. And I think local journalists who cover the team are almost obligated to go through every freaking game and make a prediction in May and give an explanation, which is scary for us because we're going to be wrong. And when these games are actually played, some of these guys will be injured or it'll be different teams. It'll be trades and stuff. And fans can bring this back up on Twitter and make us look bad. So you're really putting ourselves out there. And I always look around and notice which guys do it and which guys don't. And this year, Matt Maiocco did it, which he always does it. Matt's great. And he picked the Niners to go 12-5. And he went through every game and explained which ones he thought they're going to win and which ones he thought they're going to lose, which is I just have the utmost respect for. And I was curious to see which ones we would agree on, which ones we would disagree on. He had the Niners losing to the Seahawks in Seattle, which I don't, but I get it. As I said, their defense should be much improved. Their secondary is great. They can do all the things that you have to do to slow down the Niners offense now, schematically and in personnel. I just don't respect. I don't think much of Geno Smith. But the one game that me and Maddie really disagreed on was the Detroit game. And I think the Detroit game might be the most interesting game on the Niners schedule. It's week 17. It's Monday Night Football, and it's at Levi's. So it's just like a pure rematch of the NFC Championship game. Same venue, same teams. It's not in Detroit this time. And the last time these teams faced at Levi's, Detroit won by, the Niners won by three. It was a three-point win for the 49ers. Now, God love Maddie too. He had score predictions for the games. How you gotta love that? He had the Niners beating the Lions by 10, week 17. And he explained it by saying he thinks the Lions are gonna take a step back. So first of all, thank you, Matt, for saying all that and give me something to talk about. Second of all, I humbly, respectfully disagree about the Lions. So let's take a minute to talk about the Lions because they are just as important as any team on the Niners schedule. The Lions got better this offseason. I think objectively, their offense, they lost their guard, Jonah Jackson, who's good, and he went to the Rams. Good player. But he didn't even play in the NFC Championship game against the Niners. He missed a bunch of games last year. So other than him, they have the same offense, the Lions, which they had the third-ranked offense last year. Good offense. Good quarterback, not a great quarterback. On defense, they added two guys to their defensive line, Marcus Davenport on the end, DJ Reader in the middle, two good players. And then in the secondary, they traded for Carlton Davis, who's a good player, was with Tampa, won a championship. And they drafted Terrion Arnold in round one, one of the highest-rated corners in the league. So clearly, they watched what the Chiefs did, and they're trying to play man-to-man coverage when they can. And what's funny is if you remember why the Niners beat the Lions, what was the signature play? What did that game come down to? Brock Purdy's 50-yard heave that hit the Lions corner in the face and bounced to Ayuk. Great play by Ayuk. Embarrassing play by the Lions corner. Do anyone remember what that corner's name was? Kendall Wilder was his name, and he's no longer starting for the Lions. Their other starting corner was Cameron Sutton. So they figured it out. Now they have Carlton Davis, Terrion Arnold, Brian Branch at nickel, plus they have Emmanuel Mosley as their fourth corner, and they drafted a fifth corner in round two. That's a way different team. Their defense is going to be much better because, like the defenses who have given the Niners problems, they have no weaknesses in their secondary now, Detroit. Zero weaknesses in their secondary. So they can load the box, do the best they can to slow down McCaffrey, make his life tough, and then actually match up on the outside with Brandon Ayuk. They can do that now. And they have a really good offense. So I think the Lions are going to take a step forward this year. And I'm a Detroit Lions expert. Been watching them for a long time, know a whole lot about what they got going on over there. Maddie picked the Niners to go 12-5. I think everyone picked the Niners to go 12-5. I picked them to go 11-6. We all kind of basically agree about this team with shades of disagreement. But apparently we Niner analysts and fans and people really disagree about their number one competition in the NFC, the Lions. So I'm guessing Maddie thinks that there was a little bit of they were punching above their weight a little bit last year and they're going to fall back. Maybe that's true. You know, they're a team that goes for it on fourth down a lot. Maybe they go for it on fourth down a lot this year and it doesn't work out. And they end up losing a lot of games because of that. But I don't think so. That to me, they're a team with a great offensive line, two really good running backs, two really good wide receivers. Don't forget Jamison Williams. Amon-Ra St. Brown just got paid a ton of money. Jamison Williams has played 18 games in the NFL. He's really good. We're really talented. We'll see if he puts it together, but he did put it together at the end of the last season and scored a touchdown against the Niners in the NFC Championship game. Plus, they have that tight end who's excellent in Sam Laporta, their backup tight end. The Niners tried to sign him, couldn't get him. That's the team you got to worry about because last year they didn't have the defense to match up with the Niners. They didn't have corners. Now they do. They clearly have a good offense. Is their quarterback limited? Brock Purdy? Excuse me. Is their quarterback limited? Jared Goff? Yes, but so is Brock Purdy. Limited in different ways. Would you rather have Brock Purdy than Jared Goff? Yes. But they're both limited. Neither one is... Well, I'm not going to get into the word I want to talk about later. Lions and Niners. That's the matchup to watch. NorCal Benny G, new member. Deshaun DeVoe says we got the Drake of the great quarterbacks. My real name says Harbaugh was a quarterback. Look at what he values, O-line. That's a good point. That's a good point. And Kyle was a wide receiver. Okay, let's talk about Brock Purdy and whether he's great. In a second, though. Who we got in here? Joshua Knudsen? Knudsen? Bougie Boys Only? Yeah. Scott Alexander? Grant, I am a laid-back guy from Edinburgh and have followed the Niners since 82, 83. You got me beat on that one. Niner Gang says, I think before you can be called great, you have to win a Super Bowl or MVP, et cetera. Not just 1.5 good seasons. Not saying he's not great, just saying I need to see more. Okay, great. Let's talk about the definition of a great quarterback. What does it take to be great? I've heard the term great thrown around with Brock Purdy, and I understand he's had a great start to his career. It's unprecedented, the amount of success he's had for a young guy. But is he a great quarterback now? I put out a poll. Is he great? 70% said yes. So we got to talk about this. What is the definition of great for a quarterback? To me, you have to, it's something you accomplish. You can't just enter the league great because you're talented. Andrew Luck wasn't great because he was talented. It's something you have to achieve. And I think in football, it's pretty obvious. There's one of two things you can do. You either win an MVP or win a couple of Super Bowls. I don't even think winning one is enough to call a quarterback great. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. You got to win. If you haven't won, if you win a Super Bowl and an MVP, yep. If you just win an MVP, probably means you were great at least for a time. And if you win two Super Bowls, I think you should probably be in the Hall of Fame. That's my rule. So Brock Purdy, will he win an MVP one day? Maybe. He was in the running last year, although he didn't get any first-place MVP votes. Lamar Jackson got 49 and Josh Allen got one. Those were the first-place votes. Will Brock Purdy win a couple of Super Bowls? He absolutely could. He's already been to one. So he has greatness. He's on the doorstep of greatness. But you can't achieve greatness in a year and a half. What does achieving greatness look like? Patrick Mahomes has 3 Super Bowl victories and 2 MVPs. Joe Montana has 4 Super Bowl victories and 2 MVPs. Steve Young has 1 Super Bowl victory and 2 MVPs. Brett Favre had 1 Super Bowl victory and 3 MVPs. Peyton Manning had 2 Super Bowl victories and 5 MVPs. Aaron Rodgers has 1 Super Bowl victory and 4 MVPs. That's greatness. Lamar Jackson, no Super Bowl appearances, 2 MVPs. Is he a great quarterback? Probably not. Is he a great player? Undeniably one of the best of his generation. One of the best, maybe of all time. 2 MVPs. Russell Wilson, who Brock Purdy gets compared to frequently. Was he a great quarterback in his prime? No. He was very good. He won 1 Super Bowl. He never got a first place MVP vote. He was a little bit of product of a great running game, a great defense. He didn't throw that much. He was limited as a quarterback, couldn't see over the middle of the field, couldn't throw over the middle of the field, won a lot of games, was a very, very good quarterback, not a great one. So I'm trying to stretch the definition of great quarterback. Who is the best quarterback that wouldn't fit my definition of great? I'm thinking Drew Brees, Brock Purdy gets compared to him. Drew Brees won a Super Bowl, beat Peyton Manning, put up a lot of great numbers, never won an MVP, didn't win a second Super Bowl, played the best years of his career in a dome, in a very pass-friendly offense with a great coach, didn't run the ball very much, didn't do much in the playoffs after his 1 Super Bowl victory. I would say that Drew Brees is not a great quarterback, even though he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. But Steve Young was better. Brett Favre was better. Anyway, if Brock Purdy ends up having a Drew Brees career or a Russell Wilson career, he'll probably win a Super Bowl. And that's really all that you care about. But I think it's interesting, the definition of great. He hasn't won a Super Bowl or an MVP yet. Compare him to someone in a different sport who had a ton of success early on, but then flamed out a little bit. You never know what's going to happen to Brock Purdy. And then isn't even considered in the consideration for Hall of Fame. I'm thinking locally, baseball, Tim Lincecum. When I was in college, Tim Lincecum was considered the best pitcher in baseball. The best. He won 2 Cy Youngs. He also won well, at least two championships, right? If not three. I think he was on it the first two teams, and he's never going to make it into the Hall of Fame, even though he's a two-time champion, two-time Cy Young. Never going to come close to the Hall of Fame because he didn't do it long enough. So Purdy's going to have to do it for a long time to be considered great. Because right now, as great as his resume is, you can poke holes in it. He's 17-4 right now. Jimmy Garoppolo is 18-3. He's better than Jimmy, but that little data point on Brock Purdy's resume doesn't carry as much weight when you realize that Jimmy Garoppolo had the same thing on his resume. Then you look at his numbers, because he had better numbers than Jimmy. Brock had better numbers than Jimmy. Completes almost 70% of his throws, about a 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio, and leading the league in yards per attempt, yards per completion. That's really impressive. But that's the kind of thing that Ryan Tannehill did a few years ago for a short amount of time when the Titans had Derrick Henry and everyone was putting 8-9 in the box to stop him, and Tannehill could just throw to A.J. Brown, who was one-on-one. Is that kind of not what Brock Purdy's doing now? I mean, everyone's trying to stop Christian McCaffrey. He's got one-on-one on the outside with Brandon Ayuk, and he feasts with that stuff. Also, Tua with Miami. It's the same system. The year before, Brock Purdy led the league in yards per attempt and yards per completion. Tua led the league in yards per attempt and yards per completion. And neither of these guys have strong arms, so how are they doing this? Oh, it's the scheme. That's where the scheme comes in when people say the scheme elevates these quarterbacks. You can see it in their box scores. It's not necessarily the completion percentage or the touchdowns or the interceptions, but it's the yards. How are Tua and Brock Purdy the most prolific passers in the league when it comes to yards per attempt? Are they the most aggressive throwing down the field? No, it's the system. They're getting talented players open downfield off of play action. It's what Mike McDaniel does. It's what Kyle Shanahan does. If you put Tua on another team, he wouldn't be averaging 13.5 yards per completion. You know how we know? Because we saw him with a different coach before Mike McDaniel got there. He wasn't any good. Now Mike McDaniel gets there. Numbers are great, but they still have a conundrum. What do they do with Tua? Do they pay him? They haven't paid him yet. And, you know, analysts that aren't in Miami, fans who aren't tied to that team, it's pretty obvious what they should do, right? Don't pay Tua. Paying Tua would be a huge freaking mistake for Miami. He hasn't proven enough. He's limited. He's very much a product of Tyreek Hill and that scheme. And once they pay Tua, which they haven't done yet, they're screwed. I just thought of that right now. Which brings us to the 49ers. They got the right-handed version. Similar numbers, similar stature, similar system, similar conundrum. Are you going to pay him? Because he's going to want $55 million a year. What are the Niners going to look like with Brock Purdy making that much money? What are the Dolphins going to look like with Tua making that much money? Is Brock better than Tua? Probably. But has he accomplished anything Tua hasn't? Yeah, he's been to a Super Bowl. So did Jimmy. That's why there's really only two accomplishments that matter in the NFL for quarterbacks: MVPs and Super Bowls. Because once you don't have those two things, then you can point to a lot of bad quarterbacks who've done the same stuff. Oh, your numbers were great? So were Ryan Tannehill's and Tua's. Oh, you went to a Super Bowl and lost? Whew, so is Rex Grossman. He's a very good quarterback, but not great yet. Are you a great journalist? Big shoes to fill. No. Name one award I've won. Can't do it. Have I won a Super Bowl yet? No. But if the Niners do, I'm taking credit because I am quality control. Fish and chips, thanks for being a member. Jat is Jat says, paying Purdy would be the right thing, not the best thing. I guess I just believe in the guy. So we're talking ethics, morals. We're talking business, Jat is Jat. I thought we were talking business. Okay, let's do some sleeper picks. Sleeper. We got a game today. And it's Knicks and Pacers. Knicks are up 3-2. This game is Indiana. The Knicks don't need it, so I'm picking against prominent Knicks. Jalen Brunson, 33.5 points. He went for 44 in the last game. But he went for 18 the game before that. Again, I think the Knicks are going to be conserving their energy for Game 7 in the Garden. So I'm saying less on Jalen Brunson. Dante DiVincenzo, who I'm rocking the Dante DiVincenzo cut. Have you guys noticed? Trying to look like Dante DiVincenzo. You can call me Grant DiVincenzo if you'd like. 17 and a half points for Dante. What are we looking at there? He went for 8 in the last game. 7 before that. I got to pick against Dante DiVincenzo here. I don't believe in him in a game 6. Tyrese Halliburton, he's got to step up in a game 6. It's not just a game 6. It's a game 6 situation. So I'm picking more for Tyrese. And then no, that's the only game today. Pascal Siakam, 21 and a half points. 22. I'm thinking no for Pascal. He doesn't really create his own shot that well. So I'm going to lock it in. Brunson, DiVincenzo, Halliburton, Pascal Siakam. Those are my picks. Mostly negative. It's my style. Submitting the entry. Boom. You want to play? Use promo code CONE and get a deposit match up to $100 on your first match. Okay. So I have this hypothetical question. When we're talking about Brock Purdy's greatness, he wins a lot of games. He's gone to the Super Bowl. He led the league in passer rating. He has done some serious things, but the Niners are really good. And what's tough about judging quarterbacks on the Niners is that the current backup quarterback for the Rams won a ton of games with the Niners and went to a Super Bowl. So I would like to just do an exercise with the students in the class, everyone watching. Let's name all the starting quarterbacks we think would have losing records on the 49ers if they had to play on this team. Just for fun. I'm curious. I'll go through a list of names. You tell me if you think they would have a losing record on the Niners. Lamar Jackson. No. Josh Allen. No. Joe Burrow. No. Deshaun Watson, would he have a losing record on the Niners? I don't think so. Bo Nix, rookie for the Broncos. He might have a losing record on the Niners, although he played a lot of college football. CJ Stroud, he'd win. Anthony Richardson with the Colts. He might not do so well on the 49ers. He's kind of like the opposite of Brock Purdy. He doesn't really throw the quick passes that well. Trevor Lawrence, would he have a losing record on the Niners? No. Patrick Mahomes, no. Aiden O'Connell, he was darn near 500 with the Raiders. I'm thinking the Niners could at least win with Aiden O'Connell. Justin Herbert, he'd win. Tua would win. Jacoby Brissett, he'd win. Is he that much worse? I mean, he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Aaron Rodgers would win until he got hurt. Russell Wilson would win. Will Levis, maybe he'd lose. Kirk Cousins would win. Kyler Murray would win. Bryce Young would win. Caleb Williams would win. Dak Prescott would win. Jared Goff would win. Jordan Love would win. Matthew Stafford would win. Sam Darnold would lose. We saw it. JJ McCarthy, he'd probably lose too. Although, I don't know, maybe one of these rookies would do well. Caleb Williams would. Derek Carr would probably win. Daniel Jones, I'm thinking, would win. Jalen Hurts, I'm thinking, would win. Brock Purdy wins a lot. Geno Smith wins with the Seahawks, so he'd probably win here. Baker Mayfield would probably win. Marcus Mariota would probably win. Jaden Daniels would probably win. So of all the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, 4 or 5 would have losing records on the Niners. Is that fair to say? As we're assessing the impact that scheme and supporting cast have on this position, on this team, like 25, 26 starting quarterbacks would have winning records on this team right now. And the ones who wouldn't are rookies, Bo Nix, JJ McCarthy, or stiffs like Sam Darnold, or second year guys like Anthony Richardson. Keep something to keep in mind. So if you have a quarterback, if 25 to 28 starting quarterbacks would be successful on this team, and the one you have is one of those 28, and he hasn't won a Super Bowl, are you really sure that he's head and shoulders better than the rest, and he's the guy that deserves all the money, and he's the guy who's going to win the Super Bowl? Okay, let's keep going. What about backup quarterbacks in the NFL right now who would have winning records if they were starting for the 49ers? Backups. And this this section, this topic is inspired by Jimmy Garoppolo and the letter Q. Okay, backup quarterbacks. Mac Jones, would he have a start? Would he have a winning record on the Niners? Probably. Justin Fields. Let's say no on Justin Fields. Jimmy Garoppolo, absolutely. Jameis Winston, I would say so. Jake Browning, no question. Joe Flacco, hell yes. Michael Penix Jr., I don't know, he's a rookie, but probably. Sam Howell, he's kind of terrible, but maybe. Andy Dalton, no. Tyrod Taylor, yes, until he gets hurt. Kenny Pickett, yes. Carson Wentz, no question. Joshua Dobbs, probably not. Probably not. Drew Lock, maybe. Tyson Bagent, no. Cooper Rush, yes. He was 4-1 with the Cowboys 2 years ago. Mason Rudolph, no. Desmond Ridder, maybe. Mike White, no. Easton Stick, no. Josh Johnson, no. Mitchell Trubisky, borderline. Case Keenum, yes. Jarrett Stidham, no. Kyle Trask, no. Sean Clifford, no. Hendon Hooker, Hendon Hooker, maybe Hendon Hooker. Jake Haener, no. So look, I'm a hater, but I feel like I counted 26, 27 starting quarterbacks and like 10 to 15 backups who will be quite successful on this team. So maybe, unless you really feel that Brock is great, this dude won a MVP or a Super Bowl or both, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. Maybe you don't give him $55 million a year. Maybe you just let him play out his contract like the Dolphins are doing with Tua. Maybe you franchise tag him once. Maybe you trade him eventually and say, we can get to the Super Bowl and lose with Gardner Minshew. Could the Niners not get to the Super Bowl and lose with Gardner Minshew? They did it with Jimmy. The Raiders would rather have Gardner Minshew than Jimmy as a backup. The Raiders know quarterback talent when they see it. These are questions the Niners have to ask. These are questions the Dolphins have to ask. And what's funny about these two teams, they're very similar. They're kind of mirror images of each other. The rest of the league is hoping and wishing and praying that the Niners will extend Brock Purdy for $55 million a year and the Dolphins will extend Tua for $55 million a year. Maybe those moves will work out for those teams, but the rest of the league is dying for them to do it. Please. And so when you see here coaches and teams really praise Brock Purdy and Tua, I wonder if it's kind of like patronizing, like, yeah, they're so good. Those teams should give them up $1 billion and keep them there forever. I don't know. It's the way I look at it. But I'm a great podcaster. I would know. Fields is a yes. Stop hating. Okay, that's another one. I was trying to be on the conservative side here, but if you want to give Fields as another quarterback who would have a winning record on the 49ers, I mean, sure. Team is that good. Are you a great journalist? Not really. I agree with Steve Young. Niners had an NFC West in decline year. You had a Chiefs in a decline year, then went to the Super Bowl with arguably the best roster in the NFL and lost. The Super Bowl window might be closed. I don't know if it's closed, but I think last year was a better opportunity than this. It's going to be harder this year than last year. Who was a bigger pimp in 96, Sugar Free or Drew Down? I'm going to have to go with Drew Down, although he was the pimp of the year in 1994, I believe. But Sugar Free really didn't burst on the scene until 97 with Street Gospel. So in 97, I'd have to say Sugar Free, but 96, isn't that when Can You Feel Me came out? So I'd have to give it to the one from Oakland. Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't carry Brock Purdy's jock. The only reason Garoppolo had a decent completion percentage is because his receivers were so good. Brock Purdy is able to hit receivers in stride, something that Garoppolo could never do on his best day. Yeah, but David, who has a better supporting cast, Jimmy or Brock? It's Brock. Brock has never played a game without Christian McCaffrey. Brock has the same receivers that Jimmy had. Is Brock better than Jimmy? Yes. But I think Jimmy could actually carry his jock. I think he could physically do it. I would say he could do it. Bottom line, we the fans and the Niners both need to use this season to have a cold, hard look at what Purdy is. Yeah, but like, even if, okay, like you're going to get that this year, but his numbers are still going to be really good. They are. If he stays healthy, his numbers are going to be really good, and he's going to win a lot of games. I mean, that's what happened with Jimmy. The Niners kept trying to get that long, hard look at Jimmy, and he kept passing their tests every time. And they were left with this conundrum. Like, how do we trade Jimmy? And the rest of the league doesn't think he's as good as we do. And how come we can't get a second round pick for Jimmy? And then you got nothing and he left, which is fine. And then he went to another team and was just awful. So I don't know. I don't know the Niners are ever going to get that cold, hard look. They'd have to see Brock Purdy on like another team in another system to really know what he is. But on this team, in this system, he's great. The only problem is it won't be the same team if you pay him. The quarterbacks go how little Shanny's system goes and his anxiety sideline antics. Simple as that, nothing more. Well, I mean, Mike McDaniel doesn't seem to have anxiety, but his team falls apart in the playoffs too. Maybe it's a system issue. Maybe it's not so much a personality thing. Chris Stewart says Timmy was a badass pitcher. That is true. Kai Suzuki says, looking sharp, GC, crispy, Lions versus Niners. Grit versus talent. I like the word grit. Man-to-man, then stack the box, Niners kryptonite. Yeah, pretty much. Only if Brock has time, the Super Bowl showed nothing matters if your O-line can't hold up. Yeah, but Kyle didn't get that. He didn't get that lesson because the O-line sucks on the right side. No, it doesn't. Jermaine Pickett says upper crust here. All right, guys, that's the Grant Cohn Show for today. Thanks for watching. It's 10:36 on the West Coast. Go eat brunch. Go play golf. I'm going to go play golf. That's right. Picked it up. And I'm terrible. But I'm getting less terrible every day. Are you going to do different color combos on the blazers and shirts? Yes, I'm trying to get a full wardrobe before the season starts. Trying to get a sponsorship on that too. You know how that goes. So let me figure that out and get back to you on that. Thank you for watching, everyone. I'll be back soon.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.